introduction to you, Sam. Everybody knows you by now. If anything, you...
All right. Well, we don't need an introduction, I think, for most of us, because I think most of you were here the last time back in September. But just real briefly, Trish and I, we're from Owensville, Missouri. We're the ones that run Missouri Liberty Radio. A lot of you that log in and catch the sermons on Sunday, that's a service that we run, and glad to be able to support. You know, it's one way to be able to support, you know, the kingdom message by allowing that on the air. And that's why low power radio is so vitally important, because, and private radio, kind of like what we're doing here, which the establishment does not like, because they want their message to be the only message that prevails, versus a station like mine. You know, I'll give people a voice that doesn't normally have it, and that's part of the reason I get it, because I'm to the point anymore. I'm sure a lot of you guys probably feel the same way. It's getting to the point anymore, it's like, if you don't have something to listen to that's different than what's on the dial, what's the point of having a radio? What's the point of having a television? Because it's all the same garbage, corporate, you know, stuff that you hear everywhere. And so what we try to offer is something different, and like to be able to offer even more of it. In fact, one of the things that I'm looking for is somebody, if they could get the MP3 files to me or have some way to connect to me, I would like to find somebody that would be able to do a health show, but a show on alternative health, but somebody who is connected with the kingdom message. You know, I've got some alternative health shows on there that we run, but they're not, unfortunately, they're not, you know, I mean, they're good, but they're not, you know, they're certainly not Christian message per se, and they're not the kingdom message. And alternative health is something that has been a great thing in helping me do as well as I'm certainly doing, and Trish too, to a large extent. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't even be sitting here. So it's, you know, something that's very important. But anyway, the main thing that I think has come out of this experience for me is that, you know, certainly, like I say, because of the radio station, you know, we're all sitting here together. I mean, Charlie, after the ordeal that he had when he went through, you know, the mess with the just us system, as I call it, which is really all it, I mean, and I don't mean just us in the room, it's just them, actually, but anyway, after what he went through, and that's how we wound up once, I discovered that I was going down the same roads that he'd been going down a long time ago with the, not only the kingdom message, but the main message being to the fulfilled Bible prophecy. You know, I've had a lot of issues with that futurist stuff for a long time. You know, like, how can scripture just run along just fine and then all of a sudden for 2,000 years take a big long break and then all of a sudden pick up where it left off? Just didn't make any sense. And I'm still of that mindset even more, the more evidence, you know, that comes to me, much to the chagrin of a lot of people that I know that are still futurists. I'll tell you what, it's hard to get people out of that mindset. You guys have run into that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very hard to get people out of that mindset. I mean, once I have a saying that says, once stinking thinking gets ingrained, it's hard to get rid of stinking thinking. And there's stinking thinking on a variety of different things, everything from the COVID virus to futurism to all the other nonsense that they're trying to feed us that everybody in varying degrees seems to buy into. But Trish and I awoke to a lot of the stuff that was going on back in the 90s. Was it 90?
90.
It was very early 90s, actually. Mm-hmm. We were actually an average Rush Limbaugh listener at the time. We didn't know any better. And then as time went along, Trish started exploring other stuff on shortwave radio. And there's a lot of stuff on shortwave radio that doesn't make the mainstream. Now the problem with it is a lot of the preaching that's on shortwave is also futurism, like every place else. But in any event, there's still a lot of stuff over there. And Trish had been listening to a guy out of
California
at the time, by the name of Chris Gerner, who used to do a show called American Exposé. And he was talking about he was reading all the United Nations documents about how the United Nations was eventually going to take over the United States and all that kind of stuff. And so that's when I discovered we weren't getting the truth from Rush. And when we were living up in Kansas City, we had this inkling to want to put on a radio station at the time. And I was more Patriot-oriented until I discovered, of course, that the Patriot movement is really, it's really Patriot as in pay, triet, you know, as opposed to... Yeah. And so, you know, once I got past all that, it was just, okay, wherever the truth leads, let's just get to the truth, wherever it leads, and let's get it over with. And so we actually put the first station on. We were up in Kansas City just before the 9/11 coordinated event occurred in New York City. And the reason I call it that is because there's enough evidence to choke a horse on the fact that buildings didn't come down just because a bunch of planes hit them. I think a lot of you guys probably know that as well as I do. It was another one of those coordinated issues to get us moved to a point where they wanted us, just like the COVID-19.
Since we wouldn't dialogue to consensus, they wanted to move us.
That's exactly right. And so, anyway, so we've been doing that for a long, long time. And like I say, now it's kind of culminated into the sermons that you guys all log into on Sunday morning. Some of you, I don't know, a lot of you guys log into the sermons on Sunday morning through the station? There's one.
Yep.
And there's another, so, okay, so.
Matthew, when are you going to hit us up for slot?
There you go. Hey, I'll take any of you guys on that want to do a sermon. I mean, we could just take the whole day and just fill it full of.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I mean, you know, any of you guys who want to do it, the only qualification that I need is I need a decent quality. It can either be a 64K mono or 128K stereo MP3 file. And we load that into the system. I give it a time slot so that the system calls it up on time. I put it wherever, you know, like for example, we have it aligned where Ted comes up first, Charlie comes up after Ted, and then right now, for now, Chuck Baldwin, until I find something else to fill that slot.
Oh, well, there's proper motivation.
And, you know, the old saying goes, you know, radio has slots, and you can't just leave slots with dead air. So, you know, but, you know, as I try to find more stuff with more meat in it, then, you know, we fill those slots with whatever we can find. And with Charlie's managing all that, all the Kingdom broadcasts. I just set up the timers, he sends them in, titles them correctly, and the system calls them up. So we got that down like a grease machine. He's doing really well with that. And so if any of you ever decide you want to do a message over Missouri Liberty Radio, talk to me about it. I can give you a slot. You would simply sit down at your computer or whatever you record on. Some people have a standalone recorder like this thing I've got sitting here that we do the all the messages on that we've recorded down here. Some do it on their computers. Some computers have fairly decent microphones. Some don't. But if you run into issues, we can talk about that. But I would program you a slot. you would submit that MP3 to me. I have a server at the house that everybody uploads into that I broadcast. And as long as it's titled right, the system calls it up and plays it back, and everything runs like a Grease machine. So if any of you guys decide you want to do something like that, just think about it, pray about it, let me know. And nothing else, get with me or get with Charlie, either one. And we'll put you in a time slot and we'll let her fly. So anyway, that would be good if we could get some more kingdom sermons on there. I've been praying that Chuck Baldwin eventually come to see the fulfilled Bible prophecy, but so far he still keeps hanging on to that futurism just a little bit. He's got the Schofield issue. He's exposed that issue, but he is still holding on to that futurism just a little bit. Fortunately enough, he doesn't talk about the futurism part a lot. So, but the Schofield issue he's got down pretty good, but there's so much, of course, there's so much more than just the Schofield issue. So Trish and I do the Missouri Liberty Radio. I do a show on Sunday nights, a news events show, where we talk about news and events, and sometimes here lately we've just been trying to steer the show different directions, because you can beat the news to death. You're not going to be able to do everything about all the events that are going on, but the way you have to pretty much look at the events that are going on is, if nothing else, going through the news article serves as a barometer of things to watch out for. You have to go into this with the idea that we're not going to reach everybody. And I think we all know that. And sometimes with some of the people we got floating around out there,
you wouldn't want to
be dealing with all of them anyway. But the point being is that you can use the stuff that's going on in the news, provided it's of course from reliable sources, to indicate emerging trends and things to be watching out for. Because as I've always tried to tell a lot of people, you know, that are of the Christian mindset, and that is the fact that if you have children, you're responsible for your children. And my question has always been, for example, you got a lot of people out there who claim to be believers, and yet they still, for example, send their kids into the public school system, even though they're teaching all this transgender stuff. That doesn't make any sense to me.
All in an effort to get them out of their hair for a while.
Well, yeah, they use them as babysitters.
Yeah.
The schools, unfortunately. And, of course, you know, you have to wonder, why would anybody want to insult their children like that? And so that's part of what drives me when I do the broadcast, the news and event show, because you still, even though you're not of the world and you're not living, I mean, you're unfortunately living on the same soil that a lot of these people are living on, unfortunately, but you know, even though you try to pull out of the system as much as possible, you still have to know what's going on around you. You have to know all their ploys, all their tactics, all their clever antics they're going to use to try to, you know, do whatever it is. Unfortunately, these people, they love nothing more than power. And they love nothing more than power over everybody. And so sometimes you have to keep an eye on what's going on to stay one step ahead of them. And I mean, like, for example, the medical system. That's why Trish and I don't deal much with doctors anymore, because we've seen where it was going.
Well, they have this God complex, and they say, we're going to make this world
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah, we're going to make this work. We're going to do this. Yeah, I had a case several years ago where I had an ear infection. I went into a doctor's office, and only to find out that this doctor that was going to see me hated men.
Well, the nurse practitioner that she had.
Yeah.
Hated men.
And, but anyway, that set me on edge to begin with, because I think if you hate men, then why should I be trusting you treating me? But anyway.
I called her up that day. And
Trish confronted her on it.
I didn't appreciate the fact that you hated men.
Yep, Trish confronted her on it. But anyway, I got rid of the one ear infection with the stuff, only to have a secondary ear infection with the cortisone drops. And that's when I knew something was horribly wrong. They have absolutely nothing to offer me. I pretty much abandoned all of that, and now I'm totally into alternative health.
Amen.
Since we have been here, something that I started noticing, this is the second time this has happened. Who's been providing the raw milk here?
Just some friends of ours down the road.
Tell them thank you, because every time I have that milk, I leave here feeling fantastic.
That's awesome.
I mean, when I first came here, I had raging urinary tract infections and all kinds of stuff going on. I don't know where I get them from, but I get them at home all the time. I get down here and I get on that raw milk and this well water down in this area, and it's by about the third day I'm down here, I'm feeling a lot better.
That's awesome.
So there's something I'm getting into back east. I don't know what, but so far I'm feeling much better. And it seems to be when I hit the raw milk is when things seem to turn around. So I'm beginning to think there's something in that. The enzymes in that raw milk is really helping me immensely. So just another thing that I've learned over the years to, understand that you are what you eat. And if you can't obtain the nutrients that you need, you're not going to be as healthy as you otherwise should be.
I thought it was your what you absorb.
Well, it's that too, because you can eat a lot of stuff if your digestive system is out of whack. We had that problem. We've had to get our digestive systems back in shape. If you're having a lot of problems with digestion, you can be taking all the vitamin supplements you want, and you'd just be pouring them down a drain pretty much, because if your body can't absorb them, you just pass them. And so absorption is a very big part of... but anyway, I'd like to formally thank those people for providing that milk, because that just has really been good since we've been here. Let's see, what else can I get into? Over the years, I've had chances throughout my life. You know, a lot of people are always making, I know Charlie's always constantly talking about stuff that Trish and I do all the time. And the Lord has blessed us in many ways over the years with placing people in our paths at just the right time that seem to implant things in my mind, things that I'll never, that you always hang on to and you never forget. We were talking yesterday, and one of the things that came up was which Charlie still remembers, he brought it up yesterday, and that is the fact that how you can tell a light car from a dark car. This teacher that I had my last year of school at the school for the blind over in Illinois, he's just as blind as Trish and I are. And he took us out into the school parking lot. It was on a hot, sunny day. And he asked us kids to lay our hand on each car and tell us which one was the light one, which one was the dark one. Mm-hmm. Well, if you lay your hand on a light-colored car, even on a hot, sunny day, you'll notice that you can keep your hand on the light-colored car. But you try laying your hand on the roof of a dark-colored car, your hand isn't going to stay there very long. And that was the first thing that came to me when he was trying to prove this point to us. And to this day, when we go to get our whether it's anything that needs painting, although our house has siding on it now, it doesn't need painting. But back in the days when we had things that did need to be painted, I know now if I want my house to absorb a lot of heat and be less energy efficient in the summer, I would paint it dark. Where if you're going to have a house that, you know, you can cool off fairly easy and not have to pay such high energy bills, at least in the summer, then you paint it light. Well, if you can paint it in between, then you've got the mixture of both. You got, you know, you got efficiency during the summer with air conditioning, if you got air conditioning or fans or whatever you got, and then you got in the winter time, you still got you know, pretty good efficiency with your heat. So that was one thing that was off the beaten path that this teacher, I don't even know if he's still alive, his name is Richard Adams, and Rich was a Christian. Unfortunately, Rich was a futurist. I'd love to be able to talk to him now about some of that, but I don't even know. I haven't been able to reach him, so I don't know if he's still alive or not. He would be well into his 80s, maybe 90s by now. But back at that time, he would teach us all kinds of things. And it's stuff, too, that even sighted people can use. I mean, like, for example, when you're boiling a pan of water on the stove, have you ever noticed when you're boiling water on the stove, getting ready to boil something, you put the pan on the stove and it'll start out making quite a bit of noise while it's simmering on the bottom. But then as the water comes to a boil, just before it starts to come to a boil, if you listen, if you're paying attention, you'll notice it gets quieter for a little bit. And I didn't even think anything about that. And so it works out neat. If we're working in the kitchen, we got something on the stove that we want to bring to a boil, I can be across the room, we can be doing something else, and then we hear the thing quiet down, and we know it's about ready to come to a boil, and we need to tend to it. So just little things like that. How does a blind person tell the positive from a negative on a battery? That's another very interesting one. I learned early on that if I take two connections coming off of a 12-volt battery or a 9-volt battery or whatever it is, and what I used to do is I would hold on to the terminal of the battery with one finger and then touch the other terminal to my tongue. And depending upon how there's actual difference in the way the voltage feels when it comes through your system. If you're on the if you're on the positive versus the negative has more of an acidic taste, where the positive has more of a metallic taste, and that's how you know which is the positive and which is the negative.
I still want to know, as a telecommunications worker, I've done my fair share of RJ11s and Cat5, Cat6 connections. How does a blind person get all those six pairs wired?
Well, I'll tell you, that's an interesting story in itself. It's tricky. I can't always guarantee you what colors I'm using. The only thing I can guarantee you is that when I'm stringing it in and I'm hooking it up, I can guarantee you that I can send, like in the case of a telephone line, I can get dial tone started at one end and finish it out at the other end. Now, when we first moved to Owensville, the house we moved into it had all that three conductor stuff like you used to see back in the 50s. And I hated it because all the stuff that I needed to do, internet and other stuff, was not going to work well on that. So I just went all the way back to the D-mark on the side of the building. All your modern houses have the box on the side of the building. That's where the phone company stuff ends and your stuff begins. And you have the side where your stuff is connected and their side. And the side where the stuff going into the building is connected, there'll be a row of screw terminals there. And usually in most residential installations, there's four there. You potentially have the availability of two lines there if you wanted to use it. But anyway, I just pulled all that three conductor stuff back out of the building, just kept pulling it out until I got all the way back to the D-Mart. And we ordered about, was it 1,000 foot of that?
Yeah.
Cat 5 from a place called Gray Bar Electrical Supply. Any of you guys know about that place? They're all over the country. The one in St. Louis won't sell to you unless you have, unless you're a contractor, but the one in Kansas City did. So even after we moved from there, I ordered from Kansas City, and they'd ship it down to me, and what I didn't use, I'd just, you know, sell off to somebody else if they needed it or whatever. But anyway, so they shipped down this big box of Cat 5, and I just started fishing it in from the D-Mark, and I used punch-down blocks for all the stuff that I was doing with Cat 5. And so anyway, we put all this stuff in, and I had the phone guy over there later, because we didn't have internet for some reason, and they swore up and down it was on my end. I knew it wasn't, but they thought it was. So I said, well, if you want to waste your time sending somebody out, you can. But I said,
it's always your fault when something doesn't go right.
Yeah. Well, see, they're relying on the average person that doesn't know what's going on. And so I think that's, they have a standard modus operandi that they do when they. So anyway, they sent the guy out, and he's looking around, and he said, everything looks good here. And he said, well, it appears it is up at the head end. And I said, yeah, I said, I've been trying to tell you that. He said, not down here. He said, so anyway, they got on the phone eventually after hours and hours and hours, finally got them to get the internet back up and running, and it was something they did at the head end. It wasn't down at our end. But later on, we were out walking around, and the phone guy pulls up in his truck, and he says, hey, Sam, he says, I got a question to ask you. He said, a lot of the guys down at the shop want to know, how in the world did you wire your house for phone service? And I told him, I said, well, all I can tell you is I can pick up each one of the four pairs in the Cat 5 cable, and I can detect where dial tone is at the other end after I hook it up on the at the service entry point. I can determine where dial tone is at the other end. I said, I can't see the colors, but I said, I can separate out the pairs and hook them up as pairs. And he says, well, I don't know how you did it. He said, because you got all the colors right. And I said, well, I said, the colors were by accident. The dial tone was on purpose. And so, you know, they know us real well down there at the phone company. Of course, now most of them guys are gone. They've all retired. But back then, you know, they did. I guess you used to have quite a few conversations about all of that. But I said all that, though, to really say this. And, I mean, there's other things we could get into, but I don't want to take up a lot of time speaking here. But I just want to say that what really comes back in retrospect for me out of all this is how, if you allow it to happen, God can place people in your path at the right time, at the right place, to allow you to increase either knowledge or to help you in advancing into something that you otherwise would have never thought you would have advanced into sometimes. Any number of things. And so the thing that comes to me out of all this, particularly in view of some of the listeners that I have, I mean, I've got one blind listener who calls in. He doesn't believe in God or anything like that. And he's not hardly doing anything with his life. He just, you know, and I'm saying, you know,
he appears helpless.
If you don't seek God and ask him for wisdom, then yeah, you're going to be, you know, you're just going to be out there aimlessly floundering around. But I've seen too many cases where God has answered prayer and has helped to make things happen that otherwise wouldn't happen. And so as I continue on in my journey, I'm just trying to get a lot of these people, the listeners, you know, to understand that that's the direction we're going to have to go. We can't do anything about all the stuff that's going on in the world, for example. But what we can do is we can separate ourselves from that, and we can also put our trust in God that He will take care of the things that we can't control, while at the same time being educated in what's going on around us, not partaking in it, but being educated in what's going on around us so that we don't fall into anything or be taken by surprise by anything that's going on around us. We live in a very deceptive world, and it's one of those things where we have to understand where the things that we do have control over, and then we have to farm those things out to Yahweh, and the things that we don't have control over. And that's probably the hardest part, even for me, and still to this day. You know, it's all part of the learning process. And I get people, one of the things I get that really aggravates me sometimes, and I have a bad habit of translating what people say sometimes. One of the things I hear is, well, there's so much negative that you report on the show. Don't you have anything positive? And I have two answers for that. One, what may seem positive on the surface sometimes is not always positive in the when you start digging into it. Like, for example, you'll hear stories about humanitarian stuff going on around the world, and then you start digging into the organization that's doing the humanitarian stuff, only to find out that they're either from the UN or they're from the Clinton Foundation or they're from, you know, something like that. And I'm thinking, Gates Foundation. That's another one right there. Yep. So, I mean, we could just go down the list of all these people that are out there. And usually what I've come back with now when people come at me with that is that, okay, translation is that what you're really saying is that you want to be able to keep your head in the sand and pretend like this is all just going to blow over you and put your fingers in your ears and go la 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 and hope nobody nobody will take advantage of you, and you can just go on living your life in your own little plastic bubble, and the world doesn't work that way. And I always use Charlie's experience through the court system that he's been through as an example. Because I guarantee you, Charlie, if somebody would have told you you were going to endure all the stuff that you endured for 5 years in that system, back when you were younger, you would have probably told them they were nuts. But it happened. And unfortunately, Charlie had learned the hard way, like so many of us have to learn the hard way on different things that we encounter in our lives. But Charlie, do you think in the end, I'm just asking you this question because I think it's something we could all learn from too. Do you think in the end going through all that made you a better person, a stronger person, or how do you think that affected you in the end? I mean, I think I know, but you know, I'd be kind of curious to kind of...
Well, I wish I could say better, but every day I do something that reminds me of that's falling short. But stronger, I'd say absolutely.
Stronger, yeah, maybe that's the best way to put it. Because you're constantly going through a process of learning things that you didn't know before. I mean, just learning from some of the stuff, just listening to some of you guys all talk, you know, around the tables, you know, some of the, you know, during the afternoons when you guys are all having conversation is very, very interesting to me, and I'm still learning stuff constantly. So it's a constant journey of learning how to come out of this system. And it's one of those things that, I mean, I've been listening now to Charlie now for who knows how long, but every time he does a sermon as an example, when he talks about some of the stuff that's gone on in his life, like, for example, I never even thought anything about what he said yesterday in the message that he gave yesterday regarding the fact of because of the issue of no birth certificates, how the children were left alone when he was going through the battle and Teresa was left alone. That's very powerful. It's very powerful. And more people, if only more people knew how the system really works. And I think when I get back home and we start up the radio station again, I'm going to put a message in there that says the world is a different place than what we've been led to believe. I actually have a message in there that runs like that. Charlie's situation absolutely underscores that to a T. And there may be some of you that have varying experiences like that too. But it's a constant journey. And God has mysterious ways of protecting us through that and helping us learn at the same time. And as we continue on, I think we're going to be learning for a lifetime, you know, the rest of our lives on this stuff. But the point of the matter is that I think it's going to come down to a point where it's going to be mandatory that we separate from the system. Is it going to be mandatory vaccines that'll push us over the edge? I don't know, but they're sure warming us up for it, I think. I refuse to take it. I've already said that, you know, I already told people flat out, I said, this old boy ain't taking it. I said, if they mandate it, I'll just be an outlaw because I'm not taking it. And if there's anybody here that doesn't know the story of what's going on with the vaccines, I don't know how there couldn't be, but you know, there are some people out there who may not have heard. There are people that are getting maimed and being killed by these vaccines all over the place. I keep up on it on a constant basis every week. And what's really frustrating to me is I have some people, not all, but I have some people that I know have listened to our station. They know the story. They know the messages that I put out on the issue of the vaccines and others have put out. And they're still going and taking them.
Dead, I guess.
That's about it. Well, you know, sometimes you have to be hard-nosed on this subject. I played an interview that was done of a doctor. She's out of Ohio. She's an alternative doctor. Her name is Dr. Sherry Timpin. She runs a natural health clinic in Ohio. And this subject came up, and the narrator of that broadcast made the statement. She told her family flat out, she said, if you take these vaccines, she said, I'll do everything I can to help you, but if you take these vaccines, you're on your own. I'm not gonna come and spend all of my time taking care of you because your illness is over something that you could have done something about before you took the vaccine. And, you know, sometimes...
that's hard-nosed, but then you stop and think about what that would entail.
Yeah.
You're taking care of somebody that's completely disabled.
I mean, it's one thing if you have a problem and it's not of your own making,
yeah.
But when you know the story and you know the issue and you still walk right into it anyway, you know, then that's where I have an issue. I don't know if that's biblical or not, but I've always kind of felt that way, and in this conversation that came up on this interview that we played a couple of weeks ago kind of confirmed it. You know, it's kind of like, there comes a point. Isn't there a point where you have to just say sometimes, guys, you know, when people know the truth and they still go on and do something anyway, that there comes a point where it's kind of like, you made your bed, you know? Of course, you know, I don't know. I may be totally off base. You guys may totally disagree with me and I may be totally wrong. But it's very, very frustrating to watch people. And this goes back to what I've been saying. If you wear yourself down trying to deal with all these people that could have avoided this whole thing by simply not taking those toxins into their body, then you're no good to anybody else. And therein lies the issue, too. And that's... So I don't know. You know, like I say, I may be totally wrong about this. I may be being somewhat hard-nosed about it, but it does frustrate you when you see people that know. You've had the conversations with them, you know. I mean, I've got one guy who does a radio show that we carry on the radio station. He's going to go ahead and take the vaccines even though he knows. what the potential consequences will be. Doesn't make any sense to me, so I don't know. But anyway, just some thoughts that I have. And the last thing I want to do is be inhumane. I mean, a Christian is not supposed to be a person who's inhumane. But yet, by the same token, one of the things I'm grappling with is, how do you deal with people that they know what they're doing is wrong, they go ahead and do the destructive behavior, whatever it is, and then they expect you to clean up the mess? And I don't know how you deal with that. So maybe you guys might, I'm all ears, you know, so maybe you guys might have some understanding on it that I don't have.
Well, toward the end of Deuteronomy 28, Heavenly Father, you know, delights in punishing. It's stated clearly. You rejected me, you rejected my law.
Yeah.
It'll be my delight to crush you.
Yep, unfortunately.
Deuteronomy 28, just read through one of the more disturbing passages in Scripture, I think, but it is toward the end there. He's since you rejected me, it'll be my delight to bring all these punishments on you. So if they want to take the so-called vaccine,
well, the one problem that I am experiencing that I'm trying to wake people up to, the blind are the worst to reach because they're so desperate to be on a level playing field with the sighted, they'll walk into anything if they think it'll help them be on a level playing field. You know, I know a lot of blind people that have adopted bringing in these Amazon Echo things into their homes. Trish and I won't have one. I will never have an Amazon Echo device in our house, because it's an eavesdropping device. And the one thing that I think that I'm running into that's the biggest problem with the rest of the blind people is they're going to be the easiest ones to walk right into transhumanism. Because if somebody can offer them something to take the place of the sight that they don't have, yeah, then they'll go for it. Trish and I have both said we'd rather be an old Luddite and not take any of that than to...
I was telling Ben I'm such a Luddite.
Yeah. I mean, we've had people come to us and talk about autonomous cars. Like, won't that be great? You as blind people can get in the car and go somewhere. And I'm saying, really? I'm not going to be in control of that car. And usually my retort back will be, how would you like somebody the likes of Bill Gates, who will probably be behind the software that's running in the device, hauling you around? The other part of it is, how many of you have been driving and had to make a split-second decision that would probably be illegal under normal circumstances according to the regular driving rules of the road, but yet if you had not made that decision, would you potentially be dead, as an example? You see what I'm saying? An autonomous car is going to be set to have a certain algorithm to do a certain thing a certain way every time with no changes to the algorithm. And so if there's something that is out of the ordinary, how's the algorithm going to be programmed to understand every single potential situation that's going to come up? See, these are things that even a lot of sighted people don't think about when I talk to people about this, because a lot of sighted people think it's great. They think automated cars, you know, autonomous cars would be great. Oh, you guys can get around just like all the rest of us. I say, really? Not so fast here. You see, I think about these things. I'm just technical enough to understand how things work, and the question I usually fire back at them is, the question you got to ask about autonomous cars is, how many dead people are going to be acceptable collateral for these cars to be put out on the road? A case in point, they all looked the other way in Arizona when they decided to allow Google to test autonomous cars. They looked the other way, but yet if you or I were out there doing something out there on the road somewhere, they'd come after us and arrest us, but yet because it's Google and they're testing autonomous cars, they'll allow them to get out on the road with something that's not even proven roadworthy, and allow them to run them around on the streets out there. So, I mean, it just goes to show you, as we had this discussion yesterday, with various people yesterday that I talked to. You know, I get little discussions everywhere we go once in a while, and the subject came up is that most of the things that we think in our lives that they call rules that we are supposed to follow according to society, and I use that term loosely, are not for our own good. If you follow the money, you'll get to the bottom of just about everything, and mostly it's the money that's behind everything that drives most of the stuff that they expect us to follow. And the quicker we wake up and realize that, the better off we'll be. So, but anyway, that's another thing. The autonomous car issue is another thing that I'm trying to wake people up to. Not so fast, not only for yourselves, but don't think it's going to be such a good idea for us, because we're not going to be the ones in control of it. And so, anyway, but I appreciate you, appreciate all the conversations I've had with some of you on different things since we've been here. I'm learning from a lot of you guys as I hear some of you guys talk, and appreciate all the kind help that everybody's given us, you know, when we've been here, when we've needed it. Everybody's been, you know, we've had a lot of good you know, people assisting us and stuff, and I appreciate all you guys doing that.
And time's up, Sam. Breakfast is served.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
So,
I'd love to open it up for questions, but guys, if you got questions, and I like for everybody to hear the questions and the answers, but we've got to try to keep on schedule.
Yeah, let's
today.
Go ahead.
Okay, so last thing, just can I put you on the spot and ask you to bless the breakfast?
Yeah.
Paul? Oh, you want to.
Well, I can do it.
Go ahead,
Paul,
Sam.
Or,
okay. Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to not only be all together here, but we're learning from one another. We're enriching each other's lives. And also want to bless Jeff that's helping prepare the meals, and anybody else that's back there that's helping prepare the meals. They've all been so good. And I have really benefited so much since we've been here from the many things that have helped me with some of my health issues since we've been here, which just goes to show, Lord, that your way is the way to good health and good and a good life versus the way that the world would have us go. And I just ask that you protect and guide each and every one of us, not only during the rest of our time here, but as we go back to our various locations, but help us and as we plan the idea of Ecclesia, how you would want it to go, and that we keep all of our egos out of it and allow you to lead. You're the ultimate leader. The rest of us are just out here doing what you want us to do, and so I just ask that you work in our lives, keep us on track for the things you want us to do for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.